Praise be to God once again, and I'm not going to make you all wait for a long time. Brother spoke about the passion of Christ. He has to advise people, at least see passion of Christ and cry for some time. You know, the hearts of the people have become so cold, so hard. You know, I remember when I was speaking to one sister who was a Roman Catholic. She had called me for prayer. So I went to her home and then I saw one photo of Jesus as though he was crucified, you know, hanging on the cross. And I just wanted to speak to her heart. I said, how should I touch her heart? So then I looked at the picture and she had framed it and kept it very beautifully. I said, sister, how long do you have this frame in your home, this photo? She said, very proudly, for 8 to 9 years. I said, whenever you look at the photo, did your heart ever move to cry? He said, nobody had asked me this question. I said, now I'm asking you. Please let me know. I know that you have framed it so beautifully. The framework is so good. But have you ever cried? He said, no. I said, okay, do you have any sons? She said, yes, I have one son. One son died in an accident. There's one. I said, now you have only one son. If somebody will crucify your son like that, and permit and make him to hang on the cross, will you take a photo, frame it, and keep it like this? And she was like quite like surprised by the questions that I was asking. She said, first of all, I'll not permit anybody to take photos like that. I said, why do you feel that you will cry for your son? And why not for Jesus? And she was thinking for some time. And she was quiet. She said, you tell me, Pastor. I said, you have a connection with your son. But with Jesus, you don't have a connection. Right? So simple. So until when brother was telling me about telling people, at least you need to see this passion. Yes, that's true. The director had taken it in such a way to show the exact sufferings of Jesus. Still, the director said, there's only 10 to 20%. I cannot show the other things, what they have done to Jesus. But I remember, before all this movie had come in 1992, when I was in the church, I saw the vision of Jesus hanging on the cross. You know, that was something which I can never forget. And I could see that I'm standing on a small hill, and the Lord is hanging on the cross. And, you know, he's uttering something which I cannot hear properly. But I know that blood was just coming. I was right under his feet. And it is as though the blood is just falling on me. It's like sprinkling. Like a fountain. And that is what made me cry and scream in the church in front of everybody. I was crying. I said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Because once you really have the true vision, you receive that true vision of the cross, you will be a changed man. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can never leave the Lord. Because there is some deep, that agape love which brother was speaking. It's that agape love which will hold you and take you. So, yes, people need to know about the crucifixion, about the death of Jesus Christ. It is not something like celebrated Good Friday. Every year, Christians have only, they give birth to Jesus on December 25. And then on the Lent days, they have a long Lent days, right? They don't eat meat, that's all. But they eat other food. They don't eat meat. And then on Good Friday, you kill the Lord. And in a very urgent manner, you rise him up on Sunday. Because the Lord said 3 days and 3 nights. So here people are very urgent. They want him to just come up fast. They don't want him to fulfill that 3 days and three nights. You know, the Lord said, as Jonah was in the mouth of the whale for 3 days and three nights. You know, something, there is something. Why the Lord had to use all those words, we have to think. And Friday, the death, according to the Romans, it is the God of love. That was Tammuz, Nimrod's son. Tammuz, born to Semiramis. Born to his own mother wife. That's Tammuz. We read it in Ezekiel chapter 8. And Easter is nothing but Ishtar, which is Astaroth, Semiramis, the worship of Semiramis. So, we need the Lord, the word to be born every day in our hearts. We need to experience the death of Jesus in our hearts. And we need to experience the power of his resurrection within us. That is through Christmas, through Easter, and through Good Friday, whatever it is. We need to experience all these things. It is not people who don't go to church on Good Friday, you can see them on church, in church. You know, and on Easter you can see, on Christmas you can see them. Otherwise, they're all in the world. So we live a life every day. So it is not a worship of some specific day. But for us, every day is a holy day, right? We are not even Sunday worshippers, right? We have fellowship. Whatever days we try to have fellowship, we try to have, and we worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't believe in one specific day, right? So that's another thing. So we really need to have the passion. And in the days of Pilate, Jesus of Nazareth, you know, brother, you were speaking about the dream of Pilate's wife. And in history, there's a record that actually she came and told Pilate that I saw a dream. The dream was very disturbing. And the dream said, she's saying, I heard a voice from a darkness. He's saying, she told Pilate very clearly, it was so dark. And I felt that, you know, it's like hell. You know, there is no light. But from there, from that place, a voice comes out saying, in the days of Pilate, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. This was a dream. And she said, it was so scary. So please, let me tell you, that is why, you know, Pilate couldn't decide, because his wife was coming in between, you know, and trying to stop him, saying, don't. Become part of this man's innocent blood. So it says that within a week's time, Pilate also committed suicide. Because after he gave the judgment, he couldn't sleep. His wife was going on telling him, you know, I saw this dream and I told you, I warned you. But Pilate was caught because he's between, there's a like a political war between Pilate and Herod. Who will please the emperor more? See, so the Jews were telling, if Pilate, you're not going to give a right, you're not going to satisfy us with the decision that we take by crucifying Jesus, then we'll have to go to the emperor. You see, and being in politics, Pilate's name would have been spoiled. We don't know what would have happened to him. So he was under pressure. And finally, he had to commit suicide and he killed himself. But later on, they say in history, that his wife turned to become a believer. Praise the Lord. She was already a believer, but she lived for the Lord. So that was one point, brother said. And regarding feet washing, yes, feet washing should be done before communion, and the end time circles, they do after communion. You must have heard about that. You know, so I don't know what it is. I told them, brother, why are you doing this? They just based on a statement which Brother Branham said in the book of communion. He said there are three ordinances. He said communion, feet washing, baptism. You know, just because he used the word communion first, they have taken it. They said communion first and feet washing next. But when you go to the tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle, once you enter the gate, there is a basin with water. So the first thing is you wash, and then is the altar. An altar is where Jesus died, right? So first water and then the altar. So that is not going to change. So we need to reconcile with our brothers. We need to humble ourselves. And then we need to partake in the communion. So in the time of feet washing, if brothers have some bitterness, they can rejoin in unity in Christ. They can come back in fellowship with each other, forgive each other's sins, and whatever they have spoken against each other, and then you go to the altar to partake in the communion. So that's the right way. We have been following that from the beginning. We have not changed. So many end time people in the beginning who had come feet washing first, now they have changed it. They took communion after they take communion. After that, they go for feet washing. So all these things are there. But we received a good clarity today, and God bless you, brother. That's what I told in the morning. Being an apostle son, you should have something. When you open your mouth, then the words of life come out. You see, God has already kept all those things inside. So may God use them in the coming days. And I'm really happy that today we had two witnesses who testified, who shared the word of God. So I'm not going to take a long time. I just want to continue with what I preached this morning. Just give a little more of the things, like from Malachi chapter Malachi chapter 2 and the 7th verse. Malachi chapter 2 and the 7th verse. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should speak the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, whoever wants to be a minister of God, whoever wants to come and serve in the ministry, this is the most important thing which Malachi, through Malachi we hear these words. For the priest's lips, or the minister, or the servants of God, whoever is serving Christ, should keep knowledge. Now, the word keep, in another translation, it says preserve. You need to preserve knowledge. It means for the past 2,000 years, the truth in the New Testament times, the truth has been carried from one generation to another. And God had used different ministers of God to preserve the truth. You see? So a priest, it means a minister who is going to serve Christ, he should have a thorough knowledge of God's truth. He should be very clear. Some people want to just do ministry because it is like a status issue for them. When you come and stand here in the pulpit, everybody is looking at you. Oh, look at them. You know, what a great man he is. You know, they just want to, for that sake, they just want to come and preach. That is not the way. So look at this word. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, preserve knowledge. If somebody comes and asks you certain doctrine, certain things, you should have a clear answer. That is what is a priest's work. That is what a minister's work is. Doctrine should be very clear. Now, like brother, when brother spoke about communion or feet washing or some of the things, it's clear he's made a study of those things. You see, you study. Before preaching to the people, you need to study. I have never studied doctrine to preach to people. I have always made a study so that I equip myself first. See, I want to learn. Because I myself, I'm a student. So I learned. For the past 33 years, there are so many books I have studied. Regarding the church history, you forget about Brother Branham's book and Brother Gann's book. Yes, I've really studied Brother Branham's book, Brother Gann's book, and all those books. But other than that, There were many other books and histories which I studied. Because we, as men of God, we are facing this world, and this world will challenge us. And we should be ready to face the challenge. There were times, even there were a lot of confusion which has come into my church. My church was broken. Many false teachings tried to come inside. But because we studied the word of God, we came back, knelt down, asked the Lord for wisdom. The Lord brought us out from all those false doctrines. You see? Now when you stand as a minister, the priest's lips should keep knowledge. See? What should come here? There should be knowledge. Where? In your lips. It means you should be ready to answer to those who have some questions regarding doctrines or anything. You know, whenever I have spoken to Brother Gann, he has never delayed his answer. When I ask him a question, that very moment he has the answer. Why? The priest's lips should keep, preserve knowledge. It should be ready. It shouldn't be like, oh, okay, brother, I will tell you next month. It means you have not made a study, right? Somebody has a need at that moment. God should open your heart. Okay, maybe you may not even know the answer, but I believe if you have that Spirit of God, at that very moment, God will open your lips to bring those treasures from your lips so that the people will get the answers. And they should seek the law at his mouth. You see, the word of God is preached to the mouth. It means a priest's lips is so important. God places his wisdom, his word, everything in the mouth of a minister. So those who want to do ministry, those who want to come and serve God, those who want to come and serve the people, they should first learn. Hallelujah. They should first learn. Many people try to rush into ministry. And that is when they enter into trouble. You cannot rush into ministry. You need to wait. You need to study. Now, we don't have Bible colleges. But of course, we have the Holy Spirit University. There you go before the presence of God. And you learn. Every day, even today, I consider myself as a student. I have learned so many things, but yet I believe that I still have to learn. So every day I keep myself acute. Something I learn every day. Something or other. Some specific subject. Some scripture. I keep on meditating. God keeps adding more and more new thoughts every day so that I keep myself ready. When people come, I should be able to answer them. So this is very, very important. He should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Oh my. The entire message people say, oh, Brother Branham is the messenger. Of course, he's the messenger of the age. But that doesn't mean the other ministers are not messengers. Every minister of God is a messenger. That's why it's saying the priest's lips, plural, should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. When somebody comes here to stand on this pulpit and preach you, they should remember that they are standing as a messenger of God. So don't fool yourself by thinking you have a ministry when you don't have. So when you come here, if you think, yes, I'm ready for pulpit ministry, then you should remember you are a messenger of God. When I'm down with people, standing with everybody, laughing with everybody, eating with everybody, I'm just Shadrach, a brother. But when I come here, I should always remember now I stand here as a messenger for God. Bringing the divine messages of God. It's the same with Brother Preston or anybody who wants to come here. When you come here, you're not Preston now. You're an angel standing before the people. You're the angel of God. If Brother Zoil wants to come and stand here, yes, he's Brother Zoil there. But when he comes here, he's an angel. So it means we cannot play around. We should be serious in what we are doing. That is why many people don't have. See, the 8th verse says, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. So many of them have left. They don't have the truth. They have departed from God's presence. And that is why we need to take this ministry of preaching very, very serious. Because there are so many faces now looking at me when I'm standing here. If I give you something wrong, maybe somebody who's matured enough to understand, hey, you've gone a little out track. Only when somebody is really matured in the word can understand. But there may be simple souls sitting over here. And if I just come and preach some nonsense or some rubbish, there are people to believe. You know, in the Pentecostal movement in Chennai, there are pastors who say, tell them, you know, now the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you. As I told you last time, you will have to laugh. As you laugh, all your burdens will go. And people just keep sitting down and laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Thinking their burdens are gone. Their sins are over. No. We need to give the right word of deliverance. We need to show our hand. We need to give our hand to help people. To preach the truth. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And how can faith come if there is no minister? Romans chapter 10, from the 13th verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Look at the priest's work. Look at the minister's work. It's so important. You need to hear to believe. When you believe and call on him, you're saved. But for you to hear, you need a preacher. You need an evangelist. You need an apostle. You need a pastor. Somebody part of the fivefold ministry. You need somebody to come and give you the word. And the 15th verse, and how shall they preach except they be sent? For you to stand here, God should bring you. You cannot just come and stand in this place. Somebody has to send you here. And it is God who is sending that person. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh my goodness. It means it's a serious work. We cannot fail in this place. Many ministers of God, many ministers who claim to be ministers, they have gone around preaching all kinds. So many ministries have come. Like sometime back, there was a few years back, I think in 2003-4, you had this Dalton Bruce group coming up, you know, bringing books like Damnable Heresies. And some of his workers in India, they had written, you know, Brother Gann, in that book, Brother Gann is an eighth messenger. So I went straight That man's name was Ronald Watson. He was working for Dalton Bruce. And Dalton Bruce is a West Indian, but Indian origin, born brought up in West Indies. Nama Tirunelveli area, Nagarkoil. He's from Tamil Nadu. But some 100 years back, I think 100 or 150 years, his grandparents settled down there. And he came up with a book. He said, Brother Gann claims himself to be eighth messenger. So I went. I said, Brother, I knew this was in 2003 or 4, something around that time. So I went and told him, Brother, I know Brother Gann for many years. He has never claimed himself to be an eighth messenger. And I openly rebuked him. He said, how did Dalton Bruce write that Brother Gann is claiming himself to be eighth messenger? He said, Brother, it's all assumption. I said, assumption? You assume and you just put it in notes? He said, do you know how many people are reading your books? You people are circulating lies around. And where is Dalton Bruce today? Where is Ronald Watson today? It is all like wind. When you have false doctrine, it is like a wind. You come and you go. You don't know where you are. Brother Gann's ministry, Brother Gann has passed away, gone to be with the Lord, but the ministry still stands. You got it. When you are a messenger of Christ, then the ministry cannot fail because you are the messenger of the Lord of hosts. You know, there was a false doctrine in my church which came, Jerry Fernandez. My testimony is there on the website in Prophetic Revelation. And we came out of that. And Brother Gann had visited us in 2004. So I was taking him, you know, we had booked a taxi for Brother Gann. And as we were passing by, that group had just made a foundation. They were building a church. So Brother Gann was asking me, Shadrach, I want to just see. I told him, Brother, we'll be passing by. I'll show you. They are making a church now. So Gann said, see, whatever belongs to, Brother Gann said, whatever comes from God will stand. The other things will fall. You don't worry about it. So as Brother Gann, we were going in the car, Brother Gann took a photo. He took a picture of that foundation and he left. The meetings got over, and after 2 or 3 days, Brother Gann came here to, took his flight back to Singapore. And you will not believe me, that foundation fell. That foundation fell, my brothers. You know, this was something which I really saw. Because this is what Brother Gann said. If this is from God, it will stand or else it will fall. And on the third day, the foundation which they had put suddenly broke down like an earthquake, as though some earthquake had come. And it fell. That is the power of the ministry. You see, the power of God's truth is when the messenger, when the preacher is a messenger of God, then no false things can stand before it. It will all fall. That is why he's a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Jesus is the captain of our host. It's like an army. We are in a war zone. So our teachings, we need to study doctrines properly. We need to study everything, night and day. Because when we stand here and when we are preaching, all of you are so attentive, listening. And nothing false should come from my mouth. If I do so, I'll be causing a stumbling. And I become responsible for it. That is why you cannot produce strange fires. Right? You cannot make a new fire. We all should work with unity, with one mind. Paul had seen the fire, didn't he? He could have done things on his own. He had a special experience which none of the other apostles had. Yes, apostles were with Jesus, that was one special experience. But Paul had something else, which he can boast about. But yet when the missionary work and mission works were come, they all waited and fasted and prayed until the Holy Spirit said, separate Paul and Barnabas. You cannot just go on your own and try to do things on your own. We don't try to prove ourselves, my brother. If you have been called by God, when you come and stand in the pulpit, the words will just come out. That's it. It will come out like a river. It will come out like a wind. We don't need to prove. You don't need to go tell everybody, oh, I'm a minister, I'm a minister, I'm a minister, I'm an apostle. Did Brother Gann prove it? Until now, one thing I have seen in Brother Gann. Always he writes, Brother Richard Gann. Not even one. I used to write Apostle Richard Gann. Because we recognize the work. He wanted to keep himself so humble. But he was a man who took the sword. If it was not for Brother Gann's ministry in India and Africa, I think many of us would have been dark in the Brenhamite circle. 10 years, I almost lost my interest in reading the Word of God. But when Jesus appeared to me, what the Lord told me was to read the Word of God. But after I started to read Brother Branham's book, I nearly forgot the Bible. Until Brother Gann's connection, I was connected to Brother Gann. That's when I got the balance between the Word of God and the message. That was all in my early days, 18 years, 19 years old boy. So man of God is a messenger. You stand with the sword, you stand with the Word of God, and you need to preach the truth. So for that, a man of God should equip himself first. He cannot go with somebody going to a war, no sword, no spear, no shield. What is he doing here? This is not tourism, my brothers. You cannot go to a war zone area as though you're going for as a tourist. Hi, hello, hello. Enemy, how are you, man? Huh? You need to fight. So you stand in the place where God is supposed to stand. That is what the Lord, when he sent Moses to Egypt, he said, you shall be God. What a position. I think that is why Moses did not want to go. He said, Lord, what are you saying? You shall be God. I'm a man of... No, his lips, he started to stammer. He was supposed to be king, right? But he's now looking in the presence of God. Now he's stammering. I cannot go. Why, when you see the presence of God, actually, let me tell you something. If you have really had a true spiritual experience in Christ, you will not want to come to this place. You will not want to come. Every time I come trembling. This is not a place to play jokes. Because he's a messenger. So I always think, Lord, am I worthy? Lord, am I worthy? Please. Please, Lord, I stand under your blood. This is not something which we wanted. This is a place where God has brought us. Every minister of God. Let it be Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the Lord said, Jeremiah, speak. He said, Lord, I'm a child. I'm a young man. Don't say you're small. Don't say you're a young man. I have put my words in your mouth. See, God is forcing the things. A true person, John, in the book of Revelation, we see he fell at the feet. When he saw Jesus, he fell down at the feet as though a dead man. The true experience of Christ will humble you so much. Until Christ says, stand up. You can never stand up. Standing here in the presence of God is not an easy thing. Standing here in the pulpit and preaching the word is not an easy thing. For so many ministers consider that as a status. But we are servants. We are simple men. If there is no anointing, we are nobody. God has called us for a purpose. He has called the ministers for a purpose. And that is why when we come here, we can preach the word of God boldly. But before coming to this place, there were many men of God who never wanted to come to the pulpit preaching. Many wanted to run away. Who will want to go? Who will want to come? Because this is a work, a divine work. One small mistake, the ministers will be responsible. One small mistake. It will entirely take the believers in a wrong path. So this is a place where you need to be serious, watchful, prayerful, waiting in the presence of God, reading the word, studying the word, equipping oneself with the word of God, filling oneself with the Holy Spirit every day, filling himself with the Spirit, asking the Lord to fill. And when we come over here, we need to stand and deliver the word as messenger of Lord. Hallelujah. So my brothers and sisters, I pray that God will raise up true messengers. God will raise up true men of God who are bold to come and stand here with the Spirit of God and preach the right doctrine, the right truth. So they will seal the people for the kingdom of God. The sealing work, sealing the people, that work is done by the ministers of God through our preaching. The preaching seals you to the kingdom of God. And if you don't preach it right, then you have to stand in condemnation. We have to stand in condemnation. That's why, you know, one more scripture. You know, in the book of Exodus 28:2-5. Yes, brother. Somebody can read it past. Exodus chapter 28. Two to five.
And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, and a embroidered coat, a mitre and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen.
Yeah. So I just want to make it quick and fast. Already in the morning we spoke about linen. So the priesthood colors, these were the colors for the priests: the blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. This was a priestly dress. That is why you'll find the cardinals dressed up in, you know, purple and scarlet. Because they believe that they are the priests on this earth. They have taken those dress code. This was given to the Aaron's priests, sons. Aaron and for his sons. And this is the color of the high priest also, who will be wearing this. Why did the Lord choose blue, purple and scarlet? Let's just see these three colors. Now blue is like Exodus chapter 24 and 10. Right? Exodus chapter 24 and 10. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in its clearness. Now when they saw God, when Moses and the 70, they saw God, it seemed as though everything was like blue. Now blue, that is why it's saying the color, the body, it was the body of heaven in its clearness. When you look at the sky, you see the color blue. So blue is a color which is speaking about God Himself. His clearness, His grace, His mercy. Whenever we want mercy, whenever we want grace, we look up, right? And the sky is blue. The sky is waiting for us. It's just like the sky is waiting for us. There is a God who's waiting for us. So blue is the color of God Himself. That is why sometimes, even in our, in the Hindu religion, you know, you have the deity Krishna, Vishnu, they have given the coloring as blue. The people in those times who had the knowledge of God, you know, they felt God is like the sky, blue. He's clear like the sky. So that's why sapphire stone is like blue. It's blue. So, this is the grace of God. When you see, when the priesthood are wearing a blue, if they have a blue coat, then it means they are representatives of Christ on earth. They are manifesting God. They are earthly, the priests. That is why I said they are messengers of the Lord of hosts. So the color blue is representing God Himself. Right? And then we go to the purple, the book of Daniel, chapter 5 and 29. Purple, Daniel chapter 5 and 29. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple, a chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, purple signifies royalty. Blue signifies God Himself. Without God, we have no royalty. Hallelujah. That's why it says we are royal priesthood. We are priests in David's kingdom. All the priests were considered to be royal. Right? We are royal priests. Royal priesthood. So purple is a color of dignity. It's a color, purple, you know, royal color. So it means the true priests of God, the true messengers of God, are royal priests because they are serving a royal God. We are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. See? So like the king had put a garment of purple on Daniel, the Holy Spirit has given a dignity to his ministers. Purple color. It shows that royalty. And then we go to the book of Revelation chapter 19. The book of Revelation chapter 19 and the 13th verse. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The scarlet color. Blood color. It has two meanings. One, John looking at Jesus after he was baptized, when he came out of the water, he said, this is the lamb that has to be slain, that carried the sins of the world. So Jesus was the lamb to be slain. He was the lamb which died, right? So blood signifies sacrifice. And also according to Revelation chapter 19, blood signifies judgment. Why is he wearing the robe? Red robe, because he's coming with judgment to judge the nations. So red speaks about both sacrifice and judgment. It means in the temple of God, in the sanctuary of God, in the true ministry, you have a true sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. If you reject it, it's judgment for you. Those who reject the truth will face judgment. So that is why these three colors were so important for their priesthood. God gave them these colors. There's something related to the future. So the priests of God, the ministers of God, they represent God on earth with royalty and with sacrifice and judgment. Oh, my brothers and sisters, then it means this call is a very serious call. And none of us can play around. In my whole life, there was one thing, after I knew Christ, there was one thing which I never, never wanted to do. And that was ministry. Looking at the greatness of God. Looking at His power, looking at His holiness, looking at His majesty. We think, who are we? Just a small worm. Wriggling around. Who are we? But then God brings us and puts us here to serve the people. Hallelujah. So I praise the name of God. So all those who want to serve Christ, make your calling sure and then join the work of God. I already believe these two brothers, according to what I feel, God is already, you know, using them to share the word of God. So, very important scripture. We will read it. Brother said we have to pray, right? Yes, as the Lord leads. No, my message is over. Now I just want to speak on something. Numbers chapter 11, 26 to 30. Numbers chapter 11, 26 to 30.
Verse 26.
To 30.
But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them? And Moses got him into the camp, and he and the elders of Israel.
May the congregation say Amen. So there were two men who prophesied in the time of Moses. And we know that Brother Prasanna is one who's now giving the word of God in this church. But this morning, I'm a guest preacher, so you don't bring me in the picture. I'll come and I'll keep going. I'm a traveler. But in the church, it was Brother Prasanna who was giving the main messages. Today we had two brothers who prophesied. Amen. And some people were envious in Moses' time. And even Joshua said, Lord, Moses, please stop those people. You know, Moses said, envious thou for my sake? This is the problem even today. Nobody can preach other than Brother Brenham. That is also another problem. Huh? Nobody else can prophesy. So Moses is saying, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them? It means Moses wanted all of God's children to be prophets. If God will raise up some other men in the church to work along with Brother Prasanna, so be it. Amen. Because the Spirit of the Lord, this is a prophetic. You know, the Holy Ghost is also a prophet. Right? Jesus was a prophet. So, if that Spirit will come and rest on some brothers on the church who will be able to stand up and preach, praise be to God. We will have more preachers. The more preachers we have in church, it's good. Like in the days of apostles, James, the brother of Jesus, you know, he was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Then you had Peter, then you had James, the other disciple James, then you had John, and all of them going to different places to preach the word. So now, this church was depending on Brother Richard Gann for a very long time. Now, God is changing everything. Now the man is gone. Now this church has to see the fruit of the work which Brother Richard Gann labored for so many years. And the fruit will be not one man's work, but God will raise up standard in the men of, in many brothers and sisters who will really commit their life for ministry. Especially the men who will come for the preaching ministry. And I believe Brother Prasanna is the person who will be very happy, because I know him. No guile in his heart. He's not somebody to think, oh no, only I'm the only one who has to stand here and preach. Brother Gann told me, Brother Prasanna, take care of the church. No. You see, if God gives him, his work is to raise up more people. If Brother Zoil is coming forward, the other brother, Rolly. Yeah, sorry, brother. This, for me, I'm getting confused. There was one brother in India, so I'm getting confused with that name. Brother Rolly. Even in spite of his weakness, he was able to give the message this morning. What about Fanny Crosby? Fanny Crosby was blind, but she wrote 4,000 hymns. When she will touch a man, where a minister of God goes, she will just touch his hand. And then tell him, my brother. The D.L. Moody has given the statement. He said, when he met Fanny Crosby, she touched him and said, you are a man filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, she could not see, but she had the full sense to recognize. If some ministers who don't have Holy Ghost, she will tell them openly, please go receive the Holy Ghost. You see, it is the inner eyes which has to be opened. And God has opened that brother's eyes, the inner man, to show, to speak the word, to release that spirit which is inside. Hallelujah. So may God, according to the scriptures, I wish that all of God's children will be prophets. If Brother Infang will rise up soon, praise be to God. Brother Daryl will rise up soon, praise be to God. Right? We need more men now. The harvest is ready. We need more people. You know, I already told Brother Prasanna. Brother Prasanna, I don't know about you, what God has kept for you. But if you think my time is over in Singapore and you're coming back to India, I said, I have a big work waiting for you. You cannot sit quietly. Once God has called you to the field, you're here or you're there, wherever you are, you have to work for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. This is not Brother Richard Gann's ministry or Shadrach's ministry, Rhema Life ministry. These are all just names we have just kept to identify. Right? But the truth is, we all fellow laborers in the word of God for the truth. And we are standing for the truth. That is the thing which God has kept. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So if you people don't want Prasanna, I want him. Taking him to India, because I have a lot of work there. Praise be to God. So, God bless you all.